So in the meantime, can I ask the three gentlemen to come up? We have John, his brother Dave, and we have Mervyn joining us. And you can put another chair this side. So the three of you are opposite me. I've lost the other microphone. Move in the middle. So just before we kick off, I thought I'd read a scripture. And it's out of Matthew 28, verse 17. And you're like, oh, the Great Commission, he's reading that. Yes, I am. I'll read it to you quickly. So Jesus says to his disciples, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus said those words to his disciples. And from that moment, this incredible thing happened where 12 men went out and thousands got saved. And then thousands more got saved. And then the word went out even further into Greece and Macedonia and then on to Rome. And then as the medieval period came, it went on into Europe, and then it went into Asia, and went all over the world from there. This message about one man, his name is Jesus, and what he did for us, went viral, if you had to use a modern term. And it was because people responded to the call. Jesus gave a commission to his disciples, and those disciples reiterated that same commission that Jesus gave to more people. And more people through the ages were convicted by the Spirit and went out with the word of Jesus and saw many people saved, discipled, and new communities created. And tonight, what we're doing is we're going to be chatting to these three men. I'm going to take my seat over here. And asking them some questions about some of the work that they're doing in Lesotho. So you hear it from time to time that there's a Lesotho trip going up, but not a lot of the time we get a report back as in-depth as an evening service. And so tonight, what we thought that we would do is we would ask these men some questions about their experiences of going on mission, and we'd get them to report back some of the work that they're doing and some of the incredible work that they're seeing God do in the country of Lesotho. And so, welcome guys. It's great to have you all here. Just so that you know, these men are just like you and I. We've got someone like John who runs a company, and he goes up to Lesotho in the time that he can make. Dave as well is a marketplace, is in the marketplace. Mervyn as well. They're all in the marketplace. They have full-time jobs like most of us do. And so these men give up their weekends and sometimes their weeks to go up into Lesotho to do what God has called them to do. So guys, welcome tonight. It's so great to have all of you. And I'm just going to dive straight in with the questions so that we don't waste any more time. And so the first question that I want to give to you guys tonight is this. Mission, you would all agree, is multifaceted. That it's not just about taking the gospel. That is very important. But it's not just about taking the gospel. Perhaps you can comment on that.
Hi, everybody. Yes. It's not just about taking the gospel. It's about discipleship. We're called to go and disciple, and I think there's such a call in our lives to take the gospel, but take the word of God and to disciple nations, to teach people about the word of God and to teach people about the love of God and to bring them through as we were taught, as we came to church all the years, we were taught. And so, yes, definitely.
Great. Anyone else want to add to that one?
Thanks for a good question, Jesse.
Can't leave me hanging like that, Dave.
It is. There's more to it. And a few years ago, I read a book, a very good book. It's called When Helping Hurts. Very recommended read. And it talks about relief, rehabilitation, and development. And very often what people do when they go on a mission trip, instead of where development work is needed, they end up doing relief. So in other words, the people might need help planting gardens, and we end up taking them food. Not a good idea. And so we actually do them a disservice, and it actually gives the gospel a negative word, a negative name, and so our negative reputation. So it's very good to assess what the need is and then meet that need. Because very often there's development that's needed, but it's more of an effort to do developmental work instead of just relief work. Very easy to go and just dump food, but it's much harder to go and help people start businesses.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, there's an urgency to spread the word. There's an urgency to let God be lifted up high, you know. And I think that that's more important than anything else, you know. And you can do whatever, but they need that. They need the word. They're so hungry for the word. So for me, that's, yeah.
Great. Merv, while we've got you on the microphone
okay,
there.
Sure. Thanks,
Jess. Got another question for you over here. So Lesotho, as most of us know, is a landlocked country.
Yeah.
And so one would probably assume that it has a lot of similarities to South Africa because it's landlocked. Like maybe they have a similar culture or infrastructure or wealth or maybe even the same level of spirituality as South Africa would. Based on your experience, would you say that this is the case?
Yeah, I think there is a similarity, but not so much because the way they brought up is totally different. Their culture is totally different. Idea of life is different. You know, like for example, the kid would eat first. Like, you know, for us as we would go, the adults would eat first, you know, and the ladies would eat first, but the culture is totally different. Infrastructure is also a huge difference. As you enter Lesotho, very rural, unlike here in South Africa, very urban, lots of tar roads and a lot of potholes on that side. But yeah, it's totally different. Yeah, I'd say.
In a sense, it's an island on its own.
Yes, yes. Although it's landlocked, surrounded by South Africa, but it's totally different as you enter.
Amazing. Yeah. John, this question's for you. So when we think of mission, we can often feel like the long drive, the big funds and the sacrifice demand a huge effort from us when we arrive at the destination. Things like, I need to preach well, or I need to share well, or maybe you feel a bit like I'm not equipped enough for this. How important is it to, in a sense, let go of the thinking and to actually rely on God for the mission?
Yeah, Jesse, it's so important, eh? And we've seen it over and over and over, and not just in myself, but in the teams that go with, that there's such a reliance on God. And we carry so much. You know, we sit here and think we don't, but we do. Every single person that goes on mission, they carry so much. We have such a wealth of knowledge of the Word of God. And the problem is that we have all this knowledge, but we're not doing it. We need to become doers of the word and obey the word. And I think that's something that's challenged me about going, is that I can't have all this head knowledge. I need to have a relationship with God, and having that relationship with God compels me to go. So yes, everybody going is, of course, we don't know what God's doing, so we're relying on him, and it deepens our faith like you cannot believe. I want to talk more about that a bit later, but yes,
brilliant.
Definitely.
We'll save it till then. Okay, this question's for all three of you, so feel free to pitch in. We grow when we go is quite a buzz phrase in the Christian circles, and referring to mission. What is the truth behind this, and what changes have you seen in yourselves and the Redpoint community when you have gone on mission?
It's been amazing. We have definitely grown when we've gone. I think there's no other place to grow like going, because you're so reliant on God and what he's going to do in you and through you. It's been absolutely amazing. You know, we always go expecting God to do something in them, but it's amazing to see what God does in us, in the team that goes, and you're one of them. It's just amazing. So, yes, that is definite. If you want to grow, go.
Yeah, for me, I remember years ago, one of the first trips Ruth and I went with to Mokoklong. Phil and I was brying chicken in Chris and Michelle's house, you know, and it was late at night, there wasn't much light, and we were busy brying, and Phil said, Mervyn, you're preaching tomorrow. I said, no, I've come to just sing and play the guitar, no, I'm not going to preach. But he said, no, you're going to preach. And I just said, no, the rebuke, and ever since that time, I've always said yes, you know. And I preached that time. I preached about God being the shepherd and we the sheep. And ever since, I've seen myself and my wife grow in Christ, you know, and preaching. And we did a 5K walk, which Ruth wasn't very happy with. But we went evangelizing on the streets, and it was amazing, you know, to see the response of the people in our group growing. Angie coming to the Shabins and just coming and singing Jabulani was amazing, yeah. Yeah, more stories, but...
I think that people grow because they separate themselves for that time of the trip. So they're basically saying, Lord, I'm all yours. There's going to be no TV. There's going to be nothing that's going to distract you. And I believe that if we had to do that here, and we just separated ourselves for a time where God could speak to us directly, we would see that kind of growth. But I believe that it's even more when you go on a mission trip, because in John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said, my nourishment is to do the will of the Father and to finish the work that he called me to. And that's what I believe. When we go on a mission trip, we are being obedient to that great commission that you shared about. And when we have that obedience, it is actually nourishment to us. And I believe that separation and doing his will is what enables people to grow. Even though they don't realize it, they will come back different.
Brilliant. Dave, while you've got the mic there, I'm going to ask you a question. Dave, what is the defining moment for you? The moment you knew that you were going to do this for the rest of your life? Because you've done many mission trips.
On my very first trip was a trip to Mozambique with Keir Taylor. And I was fortunate.
It
was in 1998. And I was very fortunate to be able to drive in the bucky with him. And I was a young guy, I was very impressionable. And how I went on that trip, Keir phoned me one day and we'd kind of become friends. And he said to me, Dave, I've put your name down for the trip. And I said to him, okay, I need to go home and just chat to Robin. And he said, no, it's too late. I've made the list. You can't change it. I'm like, well, I just have to go then. So I went home, and it was just an absolute obedience to this giant of the faith. And I said to Robin, Keir's told me I have to go. And so off I went. And on the way, I said to him, how do you get the compassion to just keep going on trip after trip? My first trip was his 100th trip. And I said to him, where do you get this compassion from? And Keir Taylor, being a soldier, was a word that's like really impacted me. He said, I don't go on compassion. I go on the command. We are commanded to go, and therefore we go. And he said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, I think it is, the Bible says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion. Compassion comes after we go. We have to go. And so for me, it's been just something like, because sometimes I don't feel like going. I don't feel like leaving home. I miss my family. And it's the last thing I feel like doing. But I just know there's something in me that we just have to keep doing it. Like a homing pigeon will just return home. There's just something I just see a need or needs far away, and there's certain needs that don't move me, but certain needs do. And sometimes I get tired. We were at a leader's time, or it was a family time at Skocham with this church, and we were told to spend time in prayer and encourage one another with the word that afternoon. And Rory Sharp said to me, I've got two words for you. Keep going. No, it wasn't keep going. Go back. Go again. And I had come to that time, he didn't know it, that I said, you know what? That's it. I'm done, you know? And he said, go again. And we went again, and it's almost that fire like reignites, and away you go again.
Brilliant, Dave. Maybe just bouncing off that go again is a bit of a fun question for you, is how many passports have you filled up before they've expired?
I think it's 4. My current one's about to be full.
I don't think I've even filled up one.
They last about 5 years.
That's incredible. I think I just want you to add to what is kind of being said here. My first mission trip that I went on was 5 years ago, and it was with you, Dave. We went into Mokgotlong, and then we did a bit of outreach into the villages around. It was just food drops, and it was preaching the gospel. And I remember distinctly one very cold evening, beautiful starry night, we went into a village and we showed the Jesus film. And that night I thought, you know, it was also my first time hearing about this Jesus film. I thought, what? They've made this film that they show, you know, in places and people get saved. So I thought, okay, well, let's see how many people respond. And the entire village responded to Jesus. I'm sitting there. People are just weeping on the floor. They're overjoyed. They're partying. They're having a great time because they've heard about Jesus and they've heard the gospel that they are forgiven. And I mentioned that story to you the other day, and you told me a very interesting fact about that village. Maybe you can share it with us.
Okay, let me just expand on the story a little bit.
Go ahead.
A few years ago, we planted a church in a village called Sikorka. And there was no building, church building in that. There was no church in that village. And when we say no church, no people gathering together and no building. So you couldn't even say, let's go to church in this building. There was nothing. And what we did is we spent the next 3 years raising money and building a building. And that building's standing today. And when we went to that village, I just felt, you know, there needs to be a building here because people live in huts so that the village can't get together. And although God doesn't live in a building, his people gather in buildings like this one. And we did a trip there with another group of guys just recently, and they have committed to building that building. And so it's incredible how people are collaborating to get buildings built and communities reached. I don't know if I should just mention this now. One of the reasons that we started going to Lesotho, I hope I'm not covering another question here, was there was a survey done by a group called World Mission Center, and they identified the 100 least reached people groups in Southern Africa. So a least reached people group is basically evaluated by, can they reach their own people or do they need outside help to help them reach their own people? And how easy is it for people to attend churches? So the mountain people of Lesotho have been identified as one of the 100 least reached people groups in Southern Africa, which is one of the reasons that we first went there. So in other words, a guy can wake up in the morning and decide, I want to go to church today. He has to leave his village and possibly walk 10 or 15 kilometers to find a village with a church. I mean, really tough. I mean, would you go to church if that was the case? And not drive, but probably walk or go by donkey. No bicycles in the suit, too up and down. So that was one of the reasons that we went there. And that's one of the phases that I believe God has moved us into now where we're now seeing people building churches. It's just incredible, and it's wonderful. And I believe that that churches need to collaborate here. I felt the Holy Spirit say to me a while back, how many churches have you got in you? And I asked the Lord the same question, Lord, how many churches, church buildings have you got in you? And the answer was thousands. So I thought, wow, I maybe got two or three, you know? But together as a body of believers, we can see churches planted and buildings in these least reached people groups.
We're going to come back later on to more of that collaboration. Mervyn, I'm going to move on to you here. And we're going to change tack slightly, so this one's for you. Often it takes a day of leave or 2 days of leave from work to go up to Lesotho. We have such a limited leave, which we try to juggle with fixing up our home or spending time with the family, going away for a break. Why do you think we should give up some of our leave and hard-earned money to go on a trip like this?
I guess for me and Ruth and I, you know, we are very, it's demanding for us at work. She's a property manager of a shopping mall, and it's very demanding, and I'm in sales. And we really saw the hand of God as we went. Every time we went, we come back and stuff is sorted out, customers are sorted out, and I've really seen the hand of God in my sales. You know, it's difficult sometimes, but God just lifts you up and increases as well. So just being obedient to God, when you're obedient to God, God makes a way for everything. It's sometimes you say, I don't have the money to go, but God makes a way for everything. You know, it just comes through, and it's just amazing that it's His hand upon us when we go. And He sorts our families out. He sorts our houses out. It's just going, and He does the work. Amen. Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Mervyn. We're going to move to John. So, John, Lesotho is easy to access. Should this be an excuse not to do mission? Because often people say, no, I need to go somewhere far out. I need to go somewhere that's like at least a 2 days drive somewhere.
I think that going to a country or nation or even a people group that is close by is a lot better, because we need to build relationship. You know, we go there to go and disciple them. But you're not going to just let anyone disciple you, are you? You're going to let someone disciple you whom you trust. You know, it's the same in our church. We don't just let anybody come here and disciple us or preach to us. We've got to know them and trust them. And it's difficult to build relationship with communities that are far away because of the cost of getting there and the time to get there. Lesotho, we leave here on a Friday morning, 7 o'clock. You're there by 1, 2 o'clock. And you've got Friday afternoon, Friday night, Sunday morning. And Sunday afternoon, you're heading home again. But you can go 4 or 5 times a year, and you're building a trust relationship with them. And out of that trust relationship, you can start discipling. You can start serving them. So I think all people groups, but I know we know it for a fact for the Basuti, is they'll keep you at arm lengths because they want to know who are you. They want to know your heart. What are you really coming there for? But we're going there with the love of Christ. And we, to be able to go 4 or 5 times a year is easy, whereas doing a trip anywhere else in Africa, it takes a long time to get there, and it's difficult to go that many times, you know, and a lot more difficult to build relationship, I think.
Thank you so much, Sean. Dave, we're going to head back to that collaboration point that you alluded to earlier. So this one's for you. All throughout history, we have seen people differ around ideas of science or general ideas, ideologies, theories on economics. That's why we have a lot of wars in the world today. We seem never able to partner with other people towards a common cause, generally as human beings. But in the Church of Jesus Christ, this is not necessarily the case. Tell us a bit about the partnerships that you have with other churches, not just in Lesotho, but in South Africa, and how, even through maybe theological differences or style of church, whatever you want to call it, you're still able to partner together for the mission of God.
I really believe that's a work of the Lord, because we've been able to partner with some really incredible churches, and you've even known some of the guys that have been on trips with us, and we've made really good friendships. And people just contact us through our website and say, I want to go on a trip. And we know, where are you from? And they're from all around the country. And we've had some amazing guys partnership. One of our early partnerships was with Joyce Meyer Ministries. And they contacted us and said, listen, we want to do a blanket drop in Lesotho. Are you guys keen? So we said, yeah, how much do you want to spend? So they said, 30,000 rand. So we said, okay. They said, just something small to get our foot in the door. We said, okay. And they sent a team. The guys flew into a village. We met up with them. We had all the blankets. And from then, it's been incredible how people have just contacted us and wanted to do a trip, different churches. And we always challenge those churches, you know, to, what about building a building, you know, and something like that. And I believe it's a work of the Lord. So at the moment now, there's 2 villages with sites allocated. The one, the building has started, and 2 different churches that have just come alongside. One of the pastors came with us, and the church in that one village is called El Roy, which is one of the names of God. God sees us. And it was the word that Sarah used, God sees me. And that church had been named El Roy, and it just so happened that this pastor had done a series on the names of God. And when he heard the name of the church, he said, we're going to commit to building this building. And so it's just incredible, and I believe it's just God.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Well, guys, just before we close, I want to give you guys the opportunity to share a great story, a testimony, a story of God's grace in Lesotho, of Jesus' work. So the mic is open. Open to you guys.
Gosh, Jesse, we've got so many stories. You've got to think of now which is the story to share.
Pick one.
It's a couple of years back, probably about 5-6 years ago, maybe Dave will remind me, we were still busy with building the church in Sokoka. 2009, okay, there you go, a couple of years back. And on the way to Sokoka, there was a village on the right, a beautiful village called Motsitsing. And we always used to see the sign. And I said to David, why don't we go in there? And he said, no, the village chief doesn't want anybody coming in there with the gospel. He's against the gospel. We're not going in there. And we never went into Motsitsing. But the one day, Tsepo, who is the pastor of the church in Sokoka, said to us that he heard the chief had died. So we thought, let's gap it in there and go and find out who's the next chief. So we went in, and there was a temporary chief, what would you call it? Like a stand-in chief. She was a lady. And she was stand-in. She hadn't been made chief yet. And we said to her, we would like to bring a team in here and come and show the Jesus form and come and do a gospel outreach to the entire village. Would that be okay? She said, you're welcome. We shot back to Mokotlong because we didn't have everything with us. It was in Mokotlong. And we said, no, guys, it's like only a few kilometers, but it's like down over the rivers and up in low range, and it takes a long time to go anywhere. Get back, get the big screen, got the generator, got everything, shot back to Motsitsing, put the screen up on the side of the generator, invited the whole village, of which about 350 people came. And we showed the Jesus form that night. And remember, this village has been closed to the gospel for years and years with the old village chief, because he did not want anybody coming in there with the gospel. And he was probably jealous of his people and didn't know what they would do. But that night, it was absolutely amazing. It was hundreds of people responded to the gospel because they had never heard the gospel. And the Jesus form is in Sesotho. It's not in English. There's no translation. It's Jesus speaking Sesotho. I mean, I love it.
Incredible.
So, yeah, fluently. He speaks it fluently too. So, that was an amazing work that we heard that the village chief had died, and it was an opportunity. And it's like, you know, what he's been sharing, look for those opportunities. And that was looking for an opportunity and going. And we could have just driven past like we'd always done, you know.
I got a story. We went to one of this jacket shops, and we bought this jacket the last time. And I loved this jacket. But Ruth didn't like it too much. But on the way to Lesotho, you know,
it was a tweed jacket.
John knew this pastor, and just to tell you about the relationship that he has with some people, he says, hey, you know what? There's this guy, this pastor, this Baptist pastor. It's his birthday today, and do we have anything to give him? So I said, okay, you know. Well, what are you doing with that jacket? If he's there, if we see him, we're going to give him the jacket. I said, no problem, John, go for it. Anyway, we get there, and he's busy doing gardening, and he was right there. And he was overjoyed. He was over the moon with this jacket, and it was such an amazing story of just John building a relationship with other pastors from other denominations and just getting them in. And, it's for me, that was amazing, just to see him there, God's grace, God's love over the pastors, and it's just an amazing story for me.
What amazed me was that Merv thought he'd bought this really nice new jacket, which Ruth hated. And so he thought, no, he'll wear it when he's on his own. But I think God had other plans for him, and we ended up taking the jacket away. But, you know, that act of kindness, stopping on the road, we did it on the road. Bobby was there as well. We just saw Moses, and he was helping somebody else. His name is Moses Modise. He's very old. He's 63. Well, that's not so old, eh? Sorry, I was looking at Grant. So, but he's poor. He's really poor. And I can't tell you that act of kindness to giving him that jacket. I mean, we took a photo. He put the jacket on. It fitted him perfectly as well. Eh? I can't tell you what that was worth. It was such an incredible God moment. And we just laid hands on him and prayed for him. And Merv, who'd handed over the jacket, had a prophetic word for him as well. What was it? I can't remember.
One of the
dominant praise. It was an incredible moment in the road on the way to a village. Amazing, amazing story.
Beautiful.
Okay. I'm going to share two stories because there just have been things that have impacted. Okay, one story. Okay. We showed the Jesus form one night at a village, and it's an incredible tool. And we prayed for the sick afterwards, and it was just one of those nights that I don't even know what was different. But we were kind of running out of time. Okay, if you need prayer, just stand up, touch the place that you saw, we're going to pray. And we just kind of prayed that kind of prayer. And then we said, if there's anybody who has a testimony of, if they feel the Lord's touched them now. And suddenly these four ladies ran to the front, and they were just shrieking. The one had her back healed, the one her leg, the one her eyesight, and the one her hearing. And it was just an incredible time. We're like, what happened here? We didn't even have faith for this. It was just out of the blue. And we actually interviewed them afterwards, and I filmed it, and I put it up on YouTube. And we got back to the mission house that night, and I just lay in bed. I could not fall asleep. I just knew that God was teaching us something, and we just like realized that just God is all-powerful. He can just do anything. And he's incredible. And he just blows our mind. My last story, we were at Secorca, and we were preparing for the evening service. And Tsepo, who was the pastor there, got a call that there was a lady that had come to the village. And after she got to the village, she couldn't walk anymore. And we had to go and pray for her. So off we went, and three of us went and got to the hut that she was in. Went inside, they brought the lady inside the hut, and she was kind of like bent over. So I thought, well, she's kind of walking. This shouldn't be too hard. And anyway, we said, okay, we're going to pray for her. The moment we laid hands on her, she just went wild. And I mean, she was demon-possessed, and she started shrieking, and she tried to run out the hut. Luckily, the lady whose place it was blocked the doorway, and I said to the guys, okay, let her just calm down. She just calmed down. And I said to the guys, we can't touch her. If we touch her, she's going to go off again. So I said to her, are you afraid? She said she's very afraid. Now she was like terrified because she knew something was happening and we were the thing that was, we were the threat. And I said to the guys, we're going to pray and we're not stopping until this thing's gone. And we started praying for her, and she started shrieking. But you know what? We had, our faith was like just, God had given us boldness. And I'm thinking about Nick's word this morning, you know, when David faced Goliath, he knew, listen, God has given me, he's done this before. And we'd seen God work before. And we laid hands on her, and we prayed for her. And all of a sudden, this incredible peace came over her. And she started confessing Christ. And she had had a root of unforgiveness that had opened the door to this thing. And we said, can you walk? She stood up, started walking straight, praising the Lord, and she walked home. And you know what that story did in that village? It just opened so many doors. And that's what God does. And if we didn't go on a mission trip, we would never have seen that. And I know that Jesus said to his disciples, don't rejoice because the demons know your name, but rejoice because you know me, you know? So, but those are stories that happen.
Beautiful. Guys, I really want to thank you for sharing your stories tonight and answering some of the questions. Can we give them a round of applause? And up next, we're going to have John Robb, who's going to give us a bit of a preach.
I was told to wear my hat.
I'm looking at Nick because I know I got half an hour, but I have only got 10 minutes now. Where's Joe? Joe, come up. Can you put a picture up? There's a story here. This is a faith story. Guys, all our mission trips are about faith stories. They are incredible faith stories. And, I heard this story today, and I thought, we've got to share this story.
Okay, I've been asked to talk about a picture. A little bit of background. The beginning of the year, I just felt that God had given me a gift and that I've been sitting on it and haven't been exercising it, so I decided to go to art class. And the art teacher decided that we were going to do a canvas activation class, and she said, sent a message through, and she said, please bring a picture of a landscape. And I was sitting there trying to do a Bible study, but my mind was on landscape, and I had no clue what I was going to do. So I just said to God, please, you know, help me find a picture that I can paint so that I can focus on this Bible study. And the next minute my phone goes beep, beep, and I pick it up and I look at it, and there is this picture. And then it goes beep, beep again, and underneath it says, wouldn't this be great as a painting? So there we go. This is the view from the Mission House in Matlahong in Lesotho. And I just was sitting there going, thank you, God, thank you. It's just made it so much easier. You provided a picture. And I just felt at that moment that it would be a gift. And from that moment, I just had a purpose and a passion to complete this painting. And let me tell you, even with a purpose and a passion, it took perseverance. And at times, I actually felt that I couldn't do it. But I really had to seek God on this. But it's completed, and then on Friday morning at my prayer meeting, I was talking about the Mission House and how it came about, and about the view and everything, and one of the ladies there said, excuse the pun, but you paint a picture of looking out, and actually it is. It's a picture of looking out from the Mission House, and I just like was so blown away that actually that picture was taken by somebody on a mission. They posted, I think it may have been someone else who said it would be good as a painting, that God actually used a team to paint a picture of the harvest field. And I just thought that was so amazing. And it's just felt that the person we've given it to, it just has a heart for the Lesotho people, and his heart, he's always looking out. And I just felt that was important for this painting.
I love that. God calls us to look out, and that picture is taken from the Mission House. And this is our Mission House, this church, Red Point Church. And God's got a call on us to look out. So, first, my Lesotho hat. It's a symbol, is it not? When you see this, what do you think of? Lesotho. So, what is the symbol that we carry? And it's Jesus. It's God. It's the kingdom of God. And I thought to myself, why do they give us those hats? Because they want us to remember them. And when we go, people must remember us by the symbol that we carry. And we carry Christ with us. We need to be salt and to be light. Anyway, it's not often that I preach without an interpreter. So I'm I'm battling, because when you have an interpreter, while they're interpreting, you can read your notes and catch up or pray and say, Lord, what now? So just bear with me. Firstly, I want to just thank Nick and the elders for just for this evening, for your releasing, for allowing me. I'm so appreciative of you guys, all of you, and just for your support. I love you guys dearly. Hey? Okay, I must just... I'm sorry that Wally's not here tonight, but I have to say thanks to Wally for the incredible gospel series that he's brought us over the last 5 weeks. It's been amazing, and he keeps on telling us that he's digitally challenged, but I prepared this preach last Saturday, and then he preached it on Sunday, and I thought he must have hacked into my notes somehow. So but anyway, you know what, guys? God is talking to us. If you look at the last 5 weeks, what God is saying to us, and also just what I feel about tonight, and what we're sharing tonight is about a call to go, about a call to obedience, about a call to taking God and the love of God and the kindness of God to others. So why mission? My heading tonight is, so why mission? And 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. I don't have time to read the whole scripture, but if you do, go and read 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 21. It's quite a lengthy scripture, but it is brilliant. Just looking at God's love for us and God's love in us and us carrying that love. But We love because he first loved us. Something I wanted to pick up from verse 18, there's no fear in love. You know, sometimes people are scared to go. They're fearful to go. But there's no fear in love. Think about a child or a person who has loved much. They're content. They are confident. It's not like a person who has fear. You know, we often see people who are fearful. They're not able to speak. They're not able to go. They're not able to go out of their comfort zone. So perfect love drives out all fear. And the love of Christ in us drives out fear to go, fear to speak, fear to take a step forward. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus had been questioned by the Pharisees on what the greatest commandment is. And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. This scripture is so, so clear to us that we need to find the love of God. And it can only be found in him. We cannot have the love of God if you don't have him. We have to find ourselves spending time with him, allowing him. Oh, boss, can I have some water there, please? Allowing him to. That's okay, it's right. Sorry, guys. Allowing him to fill us with his love, because we can't take his love. We can't take his love to anyone if we don't first have it. And Nick coined a phrase which I've hijacked repeatedly, so thank you, Nick. The life and love of God comes to us on its way to someone else. And I've just absolutely, that phrase of yours has been profound, because God's love, his life, his river that comes to us, it's coming to us on its way to someone else. Yes, it is for us, but we don't dam it up. We carry it and bring it to somebody else. And you first have to experience it yourself. So, you know, I often think that we have too much head knowledge. We have all this head knowledge. We know the word. We sit in church and we listen to all these sermons and we go to a life group, but we're not doers of the word. We're not stepping out. And also we're not knowing Christ for ourselves. And Wally has challenged us with his alphabet and thanks, Harry, and everything else that he's done. He's given us such incredible practical tools over the last 5 weeks, you know, being salty, being a light that shines. And I must just really appreciate that. And guys, I hope that you've taken that to heart and that you're all looking at your Jesus alphabet and that you all have got your best testimony worked out, because that's finding God for ourselves. That's what we really need to do. I'm just thinking of Jamie and Lisa at their farewell yesterday and then this morning's service. Wow, what an incredible couple, just showing the life of God coming to them and then they're just going to somebody else. And that's part of the call of us, is to go, to get out there and go. I think Wally even said last Sunday, he just said, now just go, you know. So I read something during the week. It was, don't come to the Lord with all your demands and all your requests. Just come and say, here I am, ready for duty, Lord. I'm ready for duty. What have you got for me? So my next point is coming back to why mission. Well, it's simple, because Jesus tells us so. Jesse brought up the scripture, Matthew 28:18. It's been one of my driving scriptures for many, many years. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, who was he talking to? He was talking to his disciples. Yes. But what are we then? We're his disciples, are we not? So we need, that word is for us. That is to us. He's talking to us. He's talking about us going. I must say my brother Dave was very instrumental in me getting a heart and having a heart to go. Thank you, Dave. Dave invited me on a trip back in 2003, and I went. And that was a start of God putting a heart for the Basutu people into me. And it's a heart thing. It's all about heart. It's not going because we're going to get points. It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing, loving God and obeying him. hearing, listening, obeying. But for me, the part of that scripture that's really, really taken me and taken me without fear has been the very last verse. It says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is an amazing promise. I can tell you now, and I'm sure that everybody that's been on a trip anywhere, there are many guys in this room have been on many trips, you can't say that God didn't go with us. No, he always goes with us. And every time we take a step of faith, he's there. He's taking a step of faith. You know that old saying, you can't steer a ship that's not moving? The minute you take a step, the minute you start moving, he starts steering. And it's amazing what we see. And Dave alluded to it earlier. When we just focused on what God's call is, that we're going to a nation, we're going on a mission trip, we're going on an outreach. You're not worrying about shops and TV and sport. You're doing that, what God's called you to do. What he does in us and the faith that he goes with is amazing. I can share lots of revival stories and lots of stories. We shared one there about the Motsing village. We started going to a new village in an area called Hasitsa, and the church was very small. It was a very young couple. They were 25 at the time. They've been here before. Amazing couple, just really obedient to God, and they asked us to come. And we took a team up there, and we had a big worship team. But, wow, man, the village came in their droves. And we did the Jesus film. We had a huge outreach, and we actually started a revival there, you know, and it just took being obedient to go. A week later, I phoned the pastor, Shlaha, and I said to him, "So how's it going and what's happened?" He said, "You guys have started a revival." And the church increased in numbers. I think it tripled over 1 week. And the church has just continued to grow. And I've seen God put it on their hearts now to go. And they're actually starting to do tent outreaches in the following villages. One thing I must say about going is that we don't go and do the work that God has called them to do. We go to serve them. We go to help them to do it. We're not called to do their work. God has called them to reach out. God has called them to go on mission. God has called them to preach to the lost. And so as much as we'll go and help and we'll go and serve, we don't do what God has called them to do. And I think that's quite instrumental. Otherwise, they become reliant on us. And they're not doing what God's called them to do. I think it's also about going too often. You know, you can go too often, then they expect you to come and do everything. But they need to learn and to obey and to actually walk into what God's calling them into doing. I want to just tell one other little story because it just comes to mind, and it was brilliant. We're at a little lodge that we're staying in. It's called St. James. It's on a Catholic mission station just a couple of kilometers outside of Mokotlong. And we're working into two churches in the area. But we always start on a Saturday morning just with a bit of worship and just sharing scripture and encouraging one another. So we were a team of about 25, 30 people. Graham Joyce was there, and I asked Graham just to lead some worship. And we were just singing a couple of songs and just praying and just declaring. And these four Catholic girls, young girls, about 15 or 16, in their school uniforms, came walking up to us. So I welcomed them, and I said, "How's it?" So they said, "Can we join you?" So I said, "Yeah, sure." So they joined us, and we did some worship. We were just sharing some scriptures. And then I just felt that we needed to pray for them. And so we asked them, "Can we pray for you?" And they said, "Yes." So they stood around, and we all gathered around them, and we started praying for them. Wow. I have never felt the Holy Spirit so powerful as that day. I mean, they were like, whew. And afterwards, they just said, like, "What was that?" They had never experienced the Holy Spirit. And now they're in a Catholic school where they're hearing the word and hearing scripture. But I believe that from that day forth, God was doing something different in their lives, because they all like, "Wow, what was that?" And we just said, "That was the Holy Spirit." And it was just like amazing stories. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." And in James 2 chapter 14 it says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or food. If one of you says, 'Go in peace and keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. And I really believe that part of the why of mission is that God needs us to have faith. God wants us to have faith. We cannot be doers of the word without faith. Faith is found in him. We need to be spending time with the Lord and exercising our faith. Faith is a catalyst that causes growth and causes us to trust in the one who says to go. For me, it's almost impossible to go on mission without faith. We need faith that the Lord would be with us. We need faith that he would use us and work through us. We need faith that he would be doing something with those that we go to. And as we said earlier, God does amazing things in us when we go. We've seen such incredible unity in teams. We've seen such incredible growth in the teams that go when we go. Never mind what God's doing with them. I mean, he does amazing stuff with them, but he does amazing stuff with us when we go. So, something else I wanted to say. I mean, we've heard a lot of different words from Wally over the last few weeks about missional and about mission, about being salty, about being a light that shines, about light that shines. It's all the same thing. You know, we all need to be salty. It all means going, actually, doesn't it? It actually means obeying, because God's calling us to go. So you can't be salty if you don't go, if you don't take a step. You can't, if you have to go to someone to start a conversation, to be salty or to be a light that shines, you can't just keep quiet and not say a word. There's an obeying, there's a going. So I want to challenge us tonight that we're all sitting on gifts. We're all sitting on a huge amount of knowledge. We're all sitting with the Lord in our hearts. But where's the doer? Where's the going? God's calling us to go. Go to your colleagues. Go to your neighbor. Go to someone at school, someone in the workplace. Go to another nation. Go on a trip. It's about obedience to God, but it's about having faith that he's in us and having that love. I think I'm always challenged to know that God is with me before I go. God is with me in preparation to go. I was thinking of an electrical appliance, say a hairdryer or a toaster. I mean, they could look great. They could be stylish. Could be a nice black and silver Russell Hobbs or whatever it is. They have an ability to do a great thing, like dry your hair or make toast or whatever, heat up something if you put it on top. But unless it's plugged in, it's useless. And it's the same with us. We can have all this head knowledge about the gospel and about the word of God, and we can be full of the scripture. We can have it memorized. But if we're not plugged into the one who is the word of God, you got no power. We need to have the power of God. And the power of God is shown in by his love that's coming through us, that life and love of God coming to us on its way to somebody else. So we need to be plugged in. And I just, man, it's so good to be plugged in. It's amazing, so amazing to see what God does on these trips and does when we go, even in the office, in the workplace, in our schools. I just wanted to say, I know that it's sometimes difficult because not everyone can stand up here and speak. But guys, you know what, eh? We're all part of one body. We all have a role to play that might just be showing an act of kindness, giving a word of encouragement, being compassionate to someone, praying for someone. Guys, you've got no idea how powerful prayer is. I mean, we've seen it over and over and over. Prayer is powerful. If you can't speak to somebody but you can pray, pray. Whatever you do, go and do something that God is calling you to do. Just talking about heart of going, you can ask Bob's, that's my wife Bob's, beautiful wifey, how God just suddenly puts it on my heart. And it's just, I say, I'm just like, I need to go again. I've got to go. And that's, I'm talking about mission. I've got to go. I've got to go on a trip. And God just put it on my heart. But why don't you ask God, what's he going to put on your heart? Because he might be putting it on your heart to go to your neighbor or go to a colleague or whatever it is, or just to pray for somebody or to show an act of kindness to bless somebody financially or whatever it is that you're doing. Jesus loved the lost. Oh, no, let me just go. Sorry. Love is everything. The Lord taught me how to love others by going on mission. I didn't have a love for the Basutu people, but it took me going to get a love for them. You know, what did Jesus do? He gathered people around them, and he loved them. That's what he did. That was his act of kindness and compassion to them. He loved them. And we've got to have a love for others. We've got to have a love for the nations. And I want to just say to you, I want to challenge you tonight that if you've got a problem with another people group, take it to God. Really, take it to God and ask him to help you. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to change your heart. God needs us to have a love for all people, not just our culture, not just our people, not just people that we know, all people. We cannot show the life and love of the Lord to others if we do not have a love for them. They will see right through you. You can't have another agenda. Your agenda is God, the redemption power of God. I'm going to leave all this out. Sorry, I know we're running out of time badly. I want to encourage you to go. A lot of people have been with us on trips. A lot of young people. We've seen people go over and over and over. And thank you to you guys who've faithfully gone and gone. But guys, there's such a need for people to go. And guys, we also really need, there's a need for leaders to lead trips. We really need. I was just listening to Dave and Steve McDonald talking this morning about possibilities opening up in Swaziland. But we need leaders to go. So guys, I want to challenge you. Is God calling you to go? Is God calling you to lead? And we're not. It's not just about Lesotho. It's about go as Wally has been talking to us about, just being Christ-centered and just being on a mission and just reaching out. I'm not going to share any more stories. Okay, so I'm going to wrap up with this. So why mission? That was my topic tonight, why mission? For me, it's love and faith. God needs his love to flow through us to others. And God needs us to have faith. And we cannot have faith unless we have deeds, unless we put action to our faith. God needs us to have faith. I mean, he says that in his word in Hebrews, we need to have faith. And I want to challenge you guys, love and faith. And you can go. Okay, I'm going to leave it there. Can I pray? Lord, we just thank you for this evening. We just thank you for your call to us, Lord. We thank you for the gospel series that Wally has brought over the last 5 weeks, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for the practical tools that Wally has spoken about. And Lord, I just thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that there's such a call on this church, Lord. Red Point is a sending church, a going church, Lord, that you call us to look out, Lord, to look out over the fields. And I just thank you for Joe's painting tonight, Lord, that causes us to look out. We're not looking in. We are in the mission house, Lord, but we want to look out. Look out into the harvest fields that are ripe, Lord. Lord, I pray that tonight that you would put it on our hearts to be obedient to your call, Lord, that we would go to others, that we would reach out to others, that we would be salty to others, that we would be a light that shines, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would become doers of the word, that we would be so full of your love and so full of faith that we could just reach out, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, tonight, help us, Lord. I pray, Lord, for boldness and for courage and for strength, Lord. I think of just Nick's preach this morning and just talking about David and Goliath, Lord. Sometimes just talking to an office colleague or just going on a trip or just whatever it is, reaching out to a neighbor can be such a Goliath thing for us, Lord. But, Lord, I know that you strengthen us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that tonight that you would strengthen us and fill us with courage and with boldness, Lord, that we can obey you, Lord. And, Lord, I thank you that you've promised that surely until the end of the age that you will be with us. And thank you, Lord, that you always go with us. You are always with us. You are always strengthening us, Lord. And, Lord, I just thank you for your incredible love for us. And we want to just worship you and thank you for your love, Lord, and for who you are, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we worship you, Lord. And, Lord, I just pray, let your love flow through us, Lord. Let us be a life that is a river of bringing life to others, bringing nourishment to others, bring fruitful to others, Lord. And Lord, I pray that this week that you would give us opportunities to let your love and your life flow through us to others around us, Lord. And Lord, I pray, would you challenge us to the call of missions, Lord? Challenge us, Lord Jesus. We thank you and worship you, Lord. In your mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, John. I think two takeaways I got from John was that, number one, actually God is calling us to be obedient to him on mission. But number two, I think my obedience, I've been encouraged to obey God because actually hearing some of these stories tonight, you know that this is God's mission. It's not our mission, it's God's mission. God is doing the work. And one of my favorite things that came out of the Vision Weekend was something that Sean Dooley, a former leader of this church, said, was that we'd be a church on mission from the doorstep of our church to the nations. And the doorstep begins on Caversham Road and 7th Avenue, and it goes out into the nations. And as we obey God, actually he does the mission. He does the work in people's lives. So guys, I want to thank everyone for coming tonight. Thank you to our panel speakers. I think the stories were really great, so really appreciate you guys.